This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here on Declare Your Independence, me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're continuing our conversation with Tone Vaes, a Bitcoin maximalist. You can get hold of Tone at Tone Vaes, TONEVAYS.com, and he'll explain it to you. But we have a lot of questions, and time is now to learn more. With Tone Vaes right now. Once you realize the bad guy's intent, once you see their intent, what is it that they intend to do? Their intent is control. And Bitcoin represented they, them, those that won't leave us alone, T3, that they weren't in control. They needed to be in control. So then you get Blockstream comes in and starts paying for developers doing on Bitcoin. And all of a sudden, you know, DeCastries, the guy in charge of that, or financing it, was Bilderberger chairman for 2 years. And I'm going, and we're done. After that point, I'm like, we're done. Now, of course, I get Tone coming on. Oh, yeah, but you know, he got absolution from the, you know, the people of the, well, I don't give a crap, you know. The thing has always been control. And Bitcoin, blockchain, cryptos have been representative of the erosion of control from central command down to the individual. So when you sit there and you go on about, Argentina's doing it wrong because they're not joining the big collective of the new frontier of the collective, and it's got to be, you know, BRICS collective or some other collective, and whichever collective of financial control collective, you know, he's doing it wrong. That just tells me everything I need to know about the philosophy of Tone Vaes. So I'm just looking for you. I'm going, Tone, from that perch of collective control of central command of finance of whatever the hell, do you see the value and the inevitability of decentralization down to the individual in the crypto space? Or do you even think that's possible or beneficial?
Oh, it's certainly beneficial. I just don't know how it's possible.
Yeah, it's called crypto. Boom, done.
Well, right, but the majority of the people will always...
Do I look like I give a crap about majority of anything? That's what... See, you just keep doing... You're killing me, man. The majority of people are like, wow, you do? You know, well, I do go about general public opinion. You know, public opinion is going to... And, but it, that's why the media is so controlled.
Public opinion is what decides, you know, which leader, like, rules over your passport, right? So the majority opinion matters. And we're trying to educate as many people as we can.
To what?
But the reality is, in our lifetime, we're not going to be, you know, we're doing our best to give people more individual liberty and individual choices. But at the end of the day, you know, countries, you know, leaders in countries and most people, you know, follow those leaders. But Ernie, we've been arguing over this for years. Your view on what happened with Bitcoin is completely backwards. It wasn't, Bitcoin wasn't taken over by centralized entities. It's the complete opposite. All of these altcoins are completely centralized, and they have leaders. That didn't happen in Bitcoin. Like the guy that was the chairman of the Bilderberg Group happens to be the CEO of a giant company with a multi-billion dollar
insurance company out of France.
VC, right. They have billions of dollars in this fund for investment, and that fund likes to invest in, you know, new technology, and they invested $3 million out of multiple Bitcoins that they had because, like, I actually know the guy that convinced them that this would be a good $3 million investment. It was so irrelevant. It's almost like you investing $1,000 into something. They had absolutely no control of anything in Bitcoin or Blockstream. They just threw $3 million out of billions of dollars they have in this fund. It was like the most irrelevant part of their investment portfolio.
What about the fund? It's about paying developers. It's a guy sitting there in front of a keyboard. That's what it's about. You know?
And it paid the developers. But the developers that program Bitcoin through Blockstream are some of the most independent thinkers.
Woo!
And of all the people that I trust, not to listen to what this bank may eventually say, it's these developers, regardless if they're being paid a part of from that $3 million that they threw at it.
All right, let's do this. We'll peel some, you know, back and see some tone here. All right, so we have where we're at now, ETFs, okay? Because I can see ETFs and putting in futures and all that kind of, that's how they turn silver and gold into paper. And when they do the exact same thing with Bitcoin, I'm going, here we go. And it's going to be manipulated. You're going to see prices shoot. Why did the price shoot up to over $70,000 here lately? Why?
Oh, the ETFs are sucking in a lot of Bitcoin, and that is putting pressure on the supply.
Well, does that give some central opportunity of buy and sell that's going to manipulate? Is that the word? You know, have an influence on the price of Bitcoin, does it not?
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
But, however, right, if Bitcoin is uncontrolled by anyone and is decentralized, the banks and the governments have just as good of a chance of buying it as we do, right? Like we can't stop. Like, how do you stop the bank, right? If Bitcoin code can prevent BlackRock from purchasing Bitcoin, you can't say that Bitcoin is decentralized, right? So by being decentralized,
they're not buying
BlackRock
Bitcoin.
Has the ability to
they're buying an index, an ETF, a representation of not. They got their keys. Are they buying Bitcoin and putting it in their vault of
they
what
are.
The hell?
They are buying Bitcoin, and another company is holding it for them, right? So they're not holding it themselves.
Okay, well,
but another private company is holding it. Coinbase holds it. Oh, did we lose our videos?
It may come back. I got your picture up there. It might be a bandwidth thing. Because we're doing one thing. You know, I want to express this to you and get your comment on this. This is what, you know, the realization, you know, that I'm seeing coming. There has been a democratization down to the individual, a decentralization of information. The internet, you know, really had a big impact on that. And I'm going, okay, I talk to a lot of prominent people that travel around a lot, you know, people such as you, that see that the influence on Bitcoin and information and everything is very centralized into people and opinions from industry and the cities. And with Starlink and others that are coming online, you know, Web One, this thing, Kuiper, whatever, it doesn't matter, that you're having the ability for people in rural areas, you know, the flyover country, you know, the 80% of the landmass kind of thing, hell, the 99%, you know, across the planet to where the one little kid that's wanting to get paid in crypto for having a 24/7 webcam on his village of whatever the hell, you know, that you can do these kinds of things. They didn't do trades with the kid, the 13-year-old that has the super secret caterpillar you lick and you go visit God or whatever, you know, out of the Amazon and whatever. It just brings it down to the individuals to be able to participate in a worldwide free market that doesn't have any permissions, doesn't, hell, they don't even know that you did a transaction. For that to happen, to have rule opinion, to have the enter into a market bypassing all the central command, all the freight forwarders and the shipping people and the bureaucrats at the ports, and like John Hancock, you know, during the revolutionary time, that was his biggest crime, is that he just avoided the British tax man standing on the dock. He was like, you know, oh, you pirate, you scofflaw, you're out there like being free and stuff. So this whole world is going to get the opinion of individuals, the opinion of those outside of the cities, the opinion of the rural farmer, the rancher, the water. They're going to have an opinion, and they're going to express it, and they're going to be able to. This has not happened on this planet ever. To where you don't, it's less and less central command of the banking, you know, the BRICS, you know, the SWIFT, the we rule you, the IMF, the this, the that, the whatever, you know, the countries of the UN, of the, and then everybody's going, I break with thee, throw dog poop on their shoes and they're free. This is happening right now. What say you, Tone? Are they going to allow it? They're going to facilitate it. They're going to encourage it with Bitcoin. Or they're going, no. It's $30 transaction fees, and it has to go through this lightning branch manager of whatever. I mean, where do you see this going?
So, look, eventually I do believe that people will have more freedom. I think once the United States breaks up as a single country, there'll be lots of smaller countries, and that would give an individual freedom. But as long as we have these, you know, big countries, they still gonna control most of the population. So freedom for people is coming, but it'll be, I'm hoping that I see it in my lifetime, but it's going to take a while to get to that level, Ernie. Very few people are willing to be that independent.
But is it a goal? I mean, do you guys even care? Is it a goal?
It's a goal. Look, for me, the goal is more freedom for everyone. It's always a goal. And Bitcoin is one step. It's one step. There are bigger problems to solve. To me, the biggest problem is liberal and Marxist education in government schools. More homeschooling is needed. Absolutely. That's so it's one of the big problems is the fact that the educational system is 99.9% left. That's one of the problems in the world, and it's left almost all over the world. Less so in some countries than others, but those countries, but in the West, that's one of the issues. And this is why I'm turning my channel more into a geopolitical channel, with Bitcoin is just a tool. It's just one tool. It gives people freedom in their money. But the reason why I am a Bitcoin maxi and I educate people only about Bitcoin is because, the old coiners, the Doge promoters, the Bitcoin Cash promoters, all the tokens that you love, it's a divide and conquer strategy. If there is no single crypto like Bitcoin that is decentralized, that is actual freedom money, if the space is being diluted with a bunch of centralized fiat currencies, Doge is no different than, like, I don't know, the euro or some other fiat currency. These are all attacks on freedom. Doge is an attack on freedom. It doesn't add freedom. So is Bitcoin Cash. It's an attack on freedom.
Let's just go ahead and focus on that. I'm going to let you express yourself. You're going Bitcoin is, you know, freedom money because, you know, Goldman Sachs.gov coin loves me. And Bitcoin Cash is not because why? You know, break it down.
It's not. Because Bitcoin Cash is a centralized currency. No different than...
define that. You know, it's centralized because why?
Because it only has like two or three developers paid by one guy, Roger Ver.
Okay.
Okay. To me, Bitcoin Cash is a centralized currency.
Well, I got Blockstream doing Bitcoin by Dicastries. Now what?
Because it's not only Blockstream. There is other companies that are even bigger than Blockstream doing more than
companies. See, you keep saying companies and countries and all this.
People still need to get paid. That's the thing, right? The reason why it's companies, the reason why it's mostly companies, someone has to pay these developers. Yes, there are some developers working for free altruistically, but most of the developers need to get paid by somebody. And that somebody is usually a corporate entity. Chaincode Labs is in New York.
Their goal is freedom for the individual, right? That's their goal, freedom for the individual, right?
Well, the freedom for the individual comes with what these people program, right?
Right.
Right. Like, the freedom for the individual comes with the product that you use. Like, for example, we are streaming on something called DLive. I've never heard of DLive before. You're streaming there because it gives you more freedom. But some company built DLive. It wasn't an individual. It was some kind of company that's funding this development. Right? So it doesn't matter as long as the product that they're building gives people more freedom. And it goes it all ties into the mentality of the leaders of that company. If the leaders of that company are tyrannical, like for example, Zuckerberg, who wants to spy on your stuff, versus someone like Elon Musk, who is a lot more open to your freedom. I'm very happy that Twitter got bought by Elon Musk. Elon Musk is certainly less tyrannical in his mindset than the prior management of Twitter. Same thing here. Like, it's not, it doesn't matter that the company is paying for, a company is paying for Bitcoin's development. It's who runs this company, what do they think about freedom, and are they building freedom technology is what matters. Because the people in charge of Doge don't care about that. They only care about getting rich. And it's totally centralized.
Wow, man. That, like, developers and anybody associated with Bitcoin, that's been the... All right, God, man. All right, here's my deal. There has been a... steady march to centralize, to maximize the value of Bitcoin since the beginning. Every conference I go to, every time I go, you guys aren't going to be satisfied until, you know, it's a legal tender, you know, or controlled by the government, the Federal Reserve of Bitcoin. And, well, yep, you know, that's, you know, it's going to go to the moon. And it was always the success was determined by the value of Bitcoin compared to the U.S. dollar. And it works because now it's 70,000. We did the ETF. It went up. The hedge funds start buying in. It goes to here. You know, companies start to realize it's not going to go away and it's a hedge on inflation. So they're going to, we're going to, you know, push the fact that we need these collectives and these people to increase the value of it because they got more in reserve over here than in the dollar. It's, you know, it's working. It's store of gold. It's value. It's blah, 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 blah. Rarely, except in the beginning of Bitcoin, did they go on about the anonymity of it. That they went on about the privacy, they've been about the no third party of it. It was rare that that was even a goal. And when it was, or stated, it was kind of superficial or BS. So I'm going, all right, well, if that's the goal, then we'll do this one. You know, this one works better. Oh, it's not as secure. Bitcoin is most secure because it's the most secure. Well, so these others are insecure? well, they're not as secure. You know, so it's always the argument of something else, a reason why you need to just bite your lip and do Bitcoin because. And I'm going, well, I'm looking for the freedom aspect of it. You know, Ernie, that's never been the goal.
You're falling into a common libertarian, trap or a common
principle position.
Libertarian, it's a common libertarian pothole that so many libertarians fall into, and I see it all the time. Every time I go to Pork Fest or an Acapulco, I've seen it time and time again. To me, libertarians, they're so skeptical on everything corporate and everything government, everything demand. They're super skeptical.
Super.
But when it comes to promises and stories from other libertarians or pretend libertarians, libertarians are very, very gullible and believable in the stories these people say. And that's why libertarians get scammed as often, if not more often, than the average person. So when these people tell you that, oh, our currency is more private, our currency is more secure, our currency is whatever, it's faster, it's cheaper, it's better, they are straight up lying to you. But it's hard for you to believe it because they are also hate the government and they just like you. You guys have so much in common. And when they lie to you, you don't see it. That's the problem. People like the Bitcoin developers, people like me, we're going to be a lot, we're just generally a lot more honest about Bitcoin's limitations, about Bitcoin's ability to do stuff. So when we say, yes, it's not perfect, it's contrary to what they say, ours is perfect, right? So when they say our new currency is decentralized, it's perfect, it's the best, it's everything, and then 3 years later it falls apart and they say, oh well, I tried, right? Like, this is the problem. This is why the price of Doge is at an all-time low, because no one wants to hold it. Same thing with all the others. Yes, Bitcoin Cash is up the last 3 to 6 months, but so what? It's going to go back to new lows within a year or two, right? Same thing with Monero. Monero is pushing new lows. Litecoin is going to go to zero. It's going to die.
Bitcoin, is it going to have a correction? You know, it's going to go down to 30,000 again or something? Or is it to the moon?
It can. That's the thing. It can. But the longer you expend the time, the more Bitcoin will go up against any of these other alternatives. And the promoters of these alternatives, they're being very dishonest. This is one of the, going back to the libertarian space, and people at Pork Fest. People at Pork Fest are very, like, they're very easy to scam, because when you distrust corporations and you distrust the government, you have no community that you have trusted.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. The White House is investigating reports of an Israeli airstrike targeting a senior Iranian military commander in Syria Monday. The strike occurred near the Iranian embassy in Damascus, and several sources indicate that the commander from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard was killed in that attack. Crews have initiated a crucial phase in the process of reopening the port of Baltimore. The Coast Guard has declared the establishment of a temporary channel for commercially essential vessels close to the area affected by the collapse of the Key Bridge. Filing tax returns has become a source of stress for Gen Z. A survey conducted by Cash App Taxes reveals that one out of every four individuals in that age bracket feels the need to seek therapy to cope with the anxiety of tax filing. Tax professionals note that many Gen Z clients are filing taxes for the first time, and they lack the fundamental knowledge. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're continuing our conversation with Tone Vase, TONEVAYS.com. Tone Vase is what could only be called a Bitcoin maximalist. Now, Tone and I have been good friends for well over a decade, and it kind of came up from a different perspective on cryptocurrency, and we're having that discussion for you now to understand behind the scenes and what is so important from each of our perspectives on cryptocurrencies. Last week we had Roger Ver on his book HijackingBitcoin.com, and the discussion kind of goes along those lines of where is cryptocurrency going as the planet starts to implode and the dollar is going to lose its reserve status. What does that mean? What does it mean for crypto? How many different cryptos are there? Thousands. And which ones are rising to the top? Well, this is an important conversation for you to understand the future of everything. Now the continuation of the conversation with Tone Vase and Ernest Hancock.
When you distrust corporations and you distrust the government, you have no community that you have trust in. So when other people are libertarians, it's the only group you can trust. And that's how you end up falling for all these empty promises that never work out because they overpromise and they never deliver.
What doesn't deliver? These other crypto, you know, what do you think is trying to be delivered? Where is the competing philosophy of cryptos? What do you think the battle is over?
The battle is over control. The battle is over getting wealthy and having control. There's no, like, Roger Ver should have never split from Bitcoin. He should have never picked this fight against Blockstream or other core developers, because he lost. He lost because he ended up with full control of Bitcoin Cash. And when you have full control of Bitcoin Cash, I'll play my own devil's advocate. Let's say Bitcoin Cash was the better way to go for scaling. I don't agree with it, right? But let's say I agreed with Roger that increasing the block size and kicking out Blockstream was the right solution. The end result was Bitcoin Cash is so much more centralized than Bitcoin, with one guy in full control, even though he's going to claim that he's not. But he is. Well, at least he was. I don't know what he's doing now. But for the 3 years following the split in 2017, Roger was in full control. Well, he wasn't in full control. Craig Wright had a lot of control, which is why they split, right? And then Bitcoin Cash became less decentralized after splitting with Bitcoin Cash, or with BSV. And now you have this completely centralized Bitcoin Cash currency.
Define that. How is it completely centralized? Because Roger has a bunch. Is that it? I mean, why do you...
It's one or two developers and one or two miners being financed by one person. That's centralized.
You know what? It's like saying X is centralized because Elon fired a bunch of developers. 80% of the employees go away, and he goes, yeah, when you're not trying to socially engineer the planet, you don't need that many people. And I feel the same thing, you know, with Bitcoin. You know, when you're not trying to shoehorn it into the legacy banking system, you know, you don't need that many developers. What is development trying to do now with Bitcoin? What do they need to change now? I mean, they're certainly not focusing on reduction in transaction fees. I can guarantee you that, you know.
They're not. Not anymore. Well, sidechain development is, like, development of Lightning helps with transaction fees.
Which is 2 weeks away.
I haven't used it yet. I'm not a Lightning user. I remain a non-chain user because I see Bitcoin as, for the time being, for the next decade, at least another decade, to me, Bitcoin is more important than small coffee-like transactions. It's more important than that.
Why? What do you mean important? That is important. That's not important. What are you saying?
No. I don't see buying coffee with Bitcoin as important, because you have 100 other ways of doing so in every single country. What is important is storing your wealth in an unconfiscatable asset, being able to transfer millions of dollars instantly to the other part of the world without anyone stopping that transaction. These kinds of things are just so much more important than how to buy a $10, you know, anything, right? Like a $10 good at some shop, a sweater, a T-shirt, a conference ticket. To me, this is not important. There are way bigger things at stake here, and Bitcoin is doing everything it can to protect the more important parts of the Bitcoin ecosystem versus prioritizing someone buying and selling stickers on Bitcoin.com, which was Roger's most important aspect. Roger Ver had a business. That business was selling $5 items on a website. Bitcoin accepted here stickers. And Bitcoin is more important than making sure that business makes the most amount of money with cheap transaction fees. So, eventually, Bitcoin will solve that problem, but it's certainly not a priority.
This is a philosophical difference between you and I. I don't see any other priority I you know, to make it fast and expensive, you know, a secure transaction was the goal from the beginning. And to abandon that, there has to be a reason. You know, why is that? Because we have decided, and, you know, the memo went out that we're focusing on, you know, the store of value thing, you know. And I'm going, if you don't have the currency aspect of it, that value is not as much. And that's why I say, if the focus was on, you know, not even privacy, but ease of use, cheapness of use, that would give it more value. You don't think it would give it more value?
It would give it marginally more value. And Bitcoin can be used as a medium of exchange, which is what's given it value. But the most value that drives the price of Bitcoin higher is Michael Saylor of MicroStrategy buying up 250,000 Bitcoin. These ETFs buying 5 to 10,000 of Bitcoin every day. People buying Bitcoin and storing Bitcoin and not using Bitcoin provides 90% of the value of Bitcoin. And the medium of exchange part is maybe 10%. And I'm probably being generous. Now, a decade from now, it will be flipped. A decade from now, when it is easier to use Bitcoin in commerce, when more people have Bitcoin, when more people got wealthy on Bitcoin, its use as a medium of exchange will increase the percentage of what gives it value. But right now, it's so marginal, and it's needed. It needs to be there. Now, if Bitcoin wasn't able to do commerce at all, it would be like gold, which hasn't gone up in a decade, right? So gold cannot be used in commerce. So gold is still stuck. It's gold is hitting all-time highs, but it sucks. Like the stock market is a way better investment than gold because gold
right
can't be used in commerce. Right. But gold is still hitting new all-time highs from its store of value property. Now, Bitcoin has store of value that's way better than gold because Bitcoin is unconfiscatable. And you can actually send Bitcoin in large sums across the world. So yes, the property of Bitcoin as a medium of exchange must be there, but the larger the transaction, the more useful Bitcoin is right now.
Yeah, exactly.
For that property.
You know, it's like we always go, what do you want, Ernie? Bubblegum money? See, it's like you're going and you're trying to sell a sports car that, you know, it's 0 to 60 in 20 seconds, you know, and you're sitting there going, yeah, but look at those brake discs, man, that thing can stop on it. Woo, it's got brakes. I got the best brakes in the whole, yeah, but it doesn't go fast. It doesn't maneuver. It doesn't go into the take me from here to there. It does. Yeah, but it's got good brakes. It's safe. It's got the best brakes ever. And that's what I keep hearing whenever you guys do this, you go maximize on this one feature. It's like, I got the best stopping sports car ever. And I'm going, yeah, but I want it to, you know, be an F1 going around and zooming the market of what, well, that's not, you know, that's, you know, that you don't want that. You want something safe. You want it to be able to stop. And I'm going, you know, you're not emphasizing. If you were a car salesman, and you're doing this, you're making this case for this car that has the best stopping ability ever, but it's kind of lacks in everything else, hoping that everybody will buy it because it's cool. It's got a Mercedes emblem on it. You know, I'm just I don't see that as the future, because what percentage of transactions of the planet are in all crypto combined? I mean, a drop in the bucket. I mean, it's like nothing.
It is a drop in a bucket, right.
But, you know, but I don't think it's going to stay that way. And certainly.
But what? Well, I was going to say, Ernie, no one is stopping you from transacting in these other cryptos, okay? If you want to transact in Bitcoin Cash, transact in Bitcoin Cash. What I try to educate people is you can't store Bitcoin Cash. You can't store your Dash. You can't store your Doge. Because the longer you hold on to these other cryptos, the more they will devalue against Bitcoin, just like holding U.S. dollars, just like holding your silver, just like holding, you know, the Venezuelan or the Argentinian currency. If you look at the chart of Dash versus Bitcoin, it goes down. Sure, you look at a chart of Bitcoin Cash versus the U.S. dollar, it might be going up and it might be looking like it's doing okay. But when you look at the prices of these other cryptocurrencies, they drop long-term against Bitcoin. If you only held on to your Bitcoin from all those days, you know, instead of buying that T-shirt for 2 Bitcoin, you would have $70,000 in Bitcoin right now. Bitcoin price will keep going up against Bitcoin, and it will keep going up against these other cryptocurrencies. And if someone wants to use these other cryptocurrencies for their transactions, that's fine.
Okay, let's go ahead and talk about that. You know, it's going up. I'm not doubting that Bitcoin is going to go up, but for what reason? Because of its utility? No. Because it's utility for the banks and countries and big corporations. It's not utility for Fred. You know, it's not utility for, you know, Sally Jane wanting to go use it for whatever because she can't. It's not utility for that.
No, it is utility, right? What I'm saying is Bitcoin has utility. The two utilities of Bitcoin, one is unconfiscatable store of value. That's Bitcoin's utility.
So the other cryptos are confiscatable.
The other utility is being used in commerce for transaction. These are two utilities. Now, the first utility of Bitcoin being unconfiscatable store of value is so much more important than its utility of using in commerce.
Okay, I'm with you.
It's driving the price of Bitcoin so much higher versus these other cryptos.
Okay, so then what you're saying is all other cryptos are not secure or not as secure, but to what degree? Are you saying Bitcoin Cash, Uncle Sam is going to confiscate it any day now? What are you saying?
I'm saying Bitcoin Cash, the government doesn't care to confiscate Bitcoin Cash because it's irrelevant to the government and to the world. They don't care about it. They're not trying. The government isn't trying to take down Bitcoin Cash because it's irrelevant, but they are trying to take down Bitcoin. And if the government was trying to take down Bitcoin Cash, they easily could because it's significantly more centralized.
Oh. So you've abandoned
It's not about my opinion. It's about the global opinion.
I get it. The global they, them, those of, you know, J.P. Morgan people. I get it. You know, but my thing, so there is no effort, development, focus on turning Bitcoin into bubblegum money. That's just not even on the radar screen.
No, I mean, there is an effort. It's called Lightning. Now, you may not like the progress of that effort.
No, I don't even like the concept.
Right. You may not like the concept or whatever, right? But that is the effort. That is the effort. That is the best thinking of Bitcoin developers. You may disagree with that thinking, right? But Bitcoin developers, their best thinking to turn Bitcoin into bubblegum money without endangering its more important property of unconfiscatability and decentralization is the Lightning Network. You may not like it, but that is until someone comes up with something better.
Yeah, increase the block size.
That is the current consensus. Increasing the block size endangers Bitcoin's decentralization and unconfiscatability.
Why?
And that's why they can't do it.
Why?
It endangers it in both ways. It endangers it technologically, and it endangers it philosophically. Let's talk about the philosophically first. In order to create a bigger block, You need to do something called a hard fork. So you have to force everyone on that uses Bitcoin to update the code that they're using. If that was
how many
possible,
billion times does that happen?
Oh, what do you mean?
They've never had to update the Bitcoin? Then why you have developers? What are they doing?
Well, all the changes in Bitcoin's code are voluntary to adopt. You know, people didn't have
including
to adopt
Segway. Increasing the block size.
Well, Ernie, this is what I mean. Increasing the block size is different, okay? When SegWit was adopted in the Bitcoin code, people didn't have to update the code.
Nope.
You can still use the Bitcoin code. You can choose not to use SegWit transactions. No one forced you to update the code to use SegWit. If Satoshi comes back, he will still be able to, like, use the wallets that he created back in 2009, okay? No one forced you to update the code to use SegWit, okay? You can still use the old code. But people now have the option to also use SegWit. Now, Bitcoin has never had a hard fork. A hard fork forces everyone to use the new code. And the old versions of the code are no longer possible to use. This is what Bitcoin Cash did, okay? And this is the philosophical reason, not a technological reason, the philosophical reason. If you change the code in a hard fork way, you are proving that Bitcoin development is way more centralized to force an update on everyone. And that lowered people's trust,
you know,
in Bitcoin's decentralization.
Okay,
now,
so I just want to make sure that we understand, for whatever reason, philosophical, technical, but that the goal of making Bitcoin a currency, a daily, everybody use the beach vendors selling hats and giving massages or whatever, that is never a goal. It is much higher level of we're looking for the big money, hedge fund money.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. It is a goal. It's not a priority, but it is a goal.
When?
You know, you have many goals, but you have to prioritize them, right? It is a goal. It's not a priority. But the more important part is how to go about doing it. And going about giving you bubblegum money through increasing the block size could have destroyed Bitcoin altogether, okay? Because people would have lost confidence in Bitcoin's decentralization. Okay, so that's one part, right? This is the philosophical reason as to why a bigger block size was voted down as a viable option.
Voted
now, there's also
down by
a logical
who?
Reason.
Voted down by who?
By the community, like myself, like I refused to I would have refused to update my code to a bigger block.
Okay, well, there's your point. You're done.
Right.
You get to keep what you want.
Well, we did, and that part succeeded. But that is the philosophical reason, right? Now let's talk about the technical reason. If a block was to be bigger, it would have put Bitcoin on the path for miner centralization. This is the technological part, okay? A bigger block gives the miner that mined the prior block an advantage of mining the following block, right? So Bitcoin is mined every 10 minutes. Bitcoin Cash is, so is Bitcoin. Every 10 minutes, a block is found. When that block is found, The block is 1 megabyte in size. Okay, it's up to 4 megabytes with SegWit. Moving that block around the world, you're complaining about internet. Okay, internet is critical here. The moment a Bitcoin block is found, other miners all over the world have to validate this block before they start searching for the next block. But not the miner that found the current block.
Yeah.
The miner that found the current block, it knows that it found the solution in 10 minutes. That miner immediately starts looking for the next block, but not all the other miners in the world. All those other miners first have to receive the information from the block that was found through the internet. They have to be sure.
No, I understand, but this is like, you know, seconds, but which is a lot, you know, when you're doing whatever. But this is the argument that was made when Bitcoin first started in 2009. They were mining it on laptops. I remember the day. Right. Then you got the ASICs, application specific integrated circuit, whatever. I got S9s and S7s coming out my butt. So I'm sitting there going, okay, so we have the, you have to get, as another miner, a competing miner, you want to get the change in the additional block to the chain so that you can start going on the next one. Well, the speed of the internet now, the amount of memory and processing and CPUing now compared to freaking, God, what's it been? 15 years ago? I'm like, you know, that argument's kind of, seriously?
That argument still stands, and I'll tell you why, right? The data of the block was taking longer to get from one end of the planet to another 15 years ago. But let's say it took 10 seconds back then, and now it takes a second, okay? But in those 10 seconds, that miner could only guess a billion numbers. But now, in 1 second, because of those ASICs that you mentioned, the miner gets to guess a few trillion numbers. So today, the 1 second is probably more of an advantage to the miner than 10 seconds were 15 years ago.
No, I agree. And that, you know, that could very well be. But I'm looking at it, I'm going, okay. But everybody is on the same playing field, except for the one that, you know, got it first for that block.
Exactly. And that incentivizes other miners to join the biggest pool so they have the biggest advantage. And the bigger the block gets, the more disadvantage happens.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.